Right, so here we are live, worldwide live, on the internet through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS. Thank you to the sponsor. Thank you to all you guys for being here, for listening, being part of this connection. And we have the phone lines open. A bunch of people are here, and more people are joining in. I welcome those who just came in, and want to please say your name and location.
Gary in Los Angeles.
Hello, Gary. Welcome to the call.
How you doing, Haz? Good.
Doing well. How's Lynetta doing?
She's doing really good. Thank you for asking.
Great. Say hi to her.
I will. The love light's working miracle on her.
All right. Great. More people joined in. Welcome to you all. If you want to, please name a location.
Hello.
Jim from Sonoma.
I hear Jim. Hi, Jim. Good evening.
Me, Haz. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Doing very well, thank you.
Great. I believe another lady came in as well. I heard your voice. Please speak up and say your name and location.
Okay. Lisa from San Francisco.
Lisa, good to hear your voice. How are you doing?
I'm here again.
Right. Thanks for being here, Lisa.
Oh, you're welcome.
More people join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, hi. This is Don in Superior, Wisconsin.
Good evening, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
We're Superman from Welcome
hey,
to the call. Name and location.
Hi, it's Don at Brexel. Hi, hi, everybody.
Hi, Don. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
All right. I'm good.
Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it.
No.
And Hives,
I wish Hives would
secret.
Say he was miserable sometimes.
I'm miserable.
Part of the rich pageantry of life.
Chris, good evening.
Hey, what's up, Hives?
How you doing, brother?
Good, man. How are you?
All right, good.
You
thanks
know,
for being here.
Listen, the right question for Chris is, Chris, are you being good?
Actually, yeah, I am, man.
Good. Okay. Now, is Terry here?
Negative. She's not yet here.
Hello.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. This is Terry, but see, you're not a moderator, Terry. Hello, Terry.
Oh, I'll call right back. Thank you. Okay.
Did somebody else join in? If you want to, please say your name and location.
Yeah, Terry. Barely, actually. Wasn't Terry having any effects from that the Basco guy?
Yes,
any effects?
Yeah, you noticed anything or interesting? Or?
Well, you know what? It's just the same old stuff. It's just that it's interesting when someone else is creating it. Most people that do things don't create that kind of energy. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's hard to tell the difference when you're first looking at stuff. You know? But is Terry back?
Yes.
Okay.
Good evening, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
How are you, babe?
I'm okay.
All right.
So
is Vaughn here?
Hey, Vaughn. Hello, it's Vaughn. Yes.
Hey, Vaughn, how are you doing?
Oh, I am so good. My left arm's stronger than my right arm now. Go figure.
Keep it up.
Well,
hi, I'm Ananda from Northern California.
Who is that from Northern California?
Well, this is Dharmananda from California.
Oh, hey, how are you doing?
Good, how are you
Dharmananda.
Doing?
Dharmananda, do you come in the calls much?
Yeah, every day.
Do you say hello and say your name?
Well, I don't always listen to it live.
Okay.
It's nice to
hear your voice. Okay.
Thank you.
Dharmananda is one of those people that sends me really good emails. And like he's kind of deep. He gets things on a deep level. but I never recalled hearing him on a call. So, all right.
Yeah, a few calls, but not many.
All right.
Yeah, listen on BTS because my sometimes my microphone doesn't work. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I know Terry's not ready, and I'm not ready, and you guys are not ready. Right? So let's go.
We're going to do it anyway.
Right. Oh, wait a second here.
The things are off.
The things are off.
Still here, though.
Remember Bye Ding-a-Ling? Remember that song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think he was talking about?
Conference call.
Right. The things are off. Okay.
You know
we're
sad.
Muting
him. That's his only number one hit.
Was that a number one hit? That was Chuck Berry.
That was Berry's only number one hit.
My Ding-a-Ling?
Yep. Johnny B. Good, Roll Over Beethoven, all of his great tunes, none of them made number one, but My Ding-a-Ling did.
Look at that. We have a rock and roll historian here, right?
A little bit.
I do. Do you know all about rock and roll and that stuff?
A fair amount.
Mm-hmm.
I've made my own studies, and I'm fascinated by the history of music.
One thing that's really interesting to look up that's kind of blew my mind, and I'll just tell you this, and you can do your own research. But there's these indications. I don't want to record this, Heise. Okay, this is just for the people that are listening. There's these indications. That there was a serious effort to use rock and roll to bring drugs into this culture, with the long-term effect of breaking down the family unit and separating people, even though at the time it seemed like it was just the opposite. And that the Beatles were part of that design, that the Beatles were like cultivated by the elite, and that was why they got on Ed Sullivan. And once they had popular attention, and by the way, I love the Beatles, I love their songs. You know, they were a big influence on me, so this, you know, this was a shock to even experience this. But once they got popular attention and were super hits, their songs all started having drug implications and probably played a big part in bringing drugs to this culture. Things like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, which was LSD. And with a little help from my friends, a lot of people interpret that to be drugs. Many things that had to do with drugs. And eventually, of course, the head of that group obviously was quite a rebel, and he knew this was going on. He was in the middle of it. And it's probably why he died, okay? Because he was a potential liability, and he was too loved. So, you know, there's a lot of things that go on. I don't usually talk about politics, but I'm going to just, you know, here, I think I'll talk about this, and I'll record this part of it in just a moment.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay, this is September 4th, 2013. Winfrey and Terry Brown and all of us all over the place. And we're just talking about music. Well, what I was going to say is do a little search on Laurel Canyon and all those bands that came from Laurel Canyon. And you'll find that there was a base there on Laurel Canyon. And all of those musicians were the sons of military, high military people, like the Doors, like David Crosby. And, of course, those guys were my heroes at the time. So it's there's a lot of about that on the Internet. So you can do some searches, and I'm sure you'll find it. And one of the things about our world is that from the outside in, nothing is as how it looks. And if you happen, and every time I say something like this, I get somebody that's listening that's patriotic. And I hope you're patriotic. And if you're patriotic, I ask you to do enough Google searches to figure out what's really so. Because there's a lot of things that have happened in the last few years. And they've actually been happening for a long, long, long time, where there's a lot of what you could call propaganda, there's control of the media, and many events, recent and of old, are not how they appear. And I'm sure of this. There is no doubt about it. It's not about patriotism. It's about truth. And right now, you can find the truth on YouTube and on the Internet. It doesn't mean that everything you read is true. It doesn't mean that everything you read has got an intelligent, rational person putting it up. But there are a huge amount of things that do have really intelligent, passionate people and making cases. And one of the things that happens is we have a reality system. And when something comes that challenges our reality systems, we oftentimes go dead on it. And there's even words, vocabulary words, in order to dismiss things that challenge one's reality system. And these words have been put into our culture on purpose, so that you can dismiss them. For example, what we're doing here and could be easily dismissed as a cult, okay? Easily. And when you look deeper into it, when you study it, you realize, what is a cult? A cult is a bunch of people being, what I would say a cult was a bunch of people being brainwashed that are blind followers, kind of like Catholics, okay? Or good religious people can be cult members because they no longer analyze things. They put everything inside some kind of structure, belief system structure, and if it doesn't fit, it gets cast aside. That's what I would call a cult. But nonetheless, in popular culture, anything that's weird, anything that challenges things, is a cult. And anything which looks for hidden reasons for things to be happening, anyone who does that is a conspiracy theorist, okay? And so, you see, we dismiss those things because we think, oh, that's a cult. Or that's a conspiracy theory. And right now, it has never, ever been more important for you to figure out what really is so. Because our world is in jeopardy. Our planet is in jeopardy. And there have been consistent events that have occurred that are not what they seem to be, okay? And you can start with, in recent times, 9-11, 9-1-1. And there's loads of information on the internet. There's loads of YouTubes. There's loads of websites. There's loads of very credible people that have said that it couldn't have happened the way that it was presented as having happened. And so, on all these events, if you want to get some of the real story, look them up and put conspiracy behind it and be open-minded and realize that some of the sites are going to sound like lunatics, but there's a lot of sites that have evidence after evidence after evidence that indicate that it was more than it looked like. It was more than the party line story. It doesn't hold up at all. And the same thing is true for those two mass murder incidents in Aurora, Colorado, and in Sandy Hook. And just be open-minded and check them out. And when you look at our government, and you look at, for example, how in recent times we've been going into these Middle East countries, and we went into Iraq, and we did huge bombings there because we were told they had weapons of mass destruction. And after we did all that, it was said, sorry, we made a mistake. I never heard anything about reparations to the country or helping the people that we hurt or destroying the economy or destroying the politics. But you see, because all of this is happening, there's this idea that we can repress liberties here because we have to protect ourselves from terrorists. Well, if you want to protect yourself from terrorists, you have to make terrorists a serious threat. Are they a serious threat? Or maybe they are. I don't know how big a threat terrorists are or not. But I do know a huge amount of things that have been indicated as from terrorists are not from terrorists. There's certainly strong indications that there's another explanation, and you can search these out. Again, look up these incidents. And why this is so important right now, right at this moment, is because we have an incident going on in Syria. And we're being told a story that the president of Syria gassed a bunch and that killed a bunch of people and that we have to go. Problem. If we go there, if we do something, Syria is...
When you're cut out.
Can you hear me? You can hear me now, right?
Yes.
Now, yeah.
There was some funny sound there, okay, on the phone. Somebody was pushing their button. If we go into Syria and bomb that country, Syria has threatened to bomb Israel. Russia and China are both getting involved. Iran is getting involved. And it could very well be the beginning of World War III. And Marcia has put together an email that she sent me from somebody and talking about...
Ben, your line has static on it.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you, but there is a static oversound coming through.
Is it impossible to understand me?
Right now, you're good. Let's hold on.
Hello, 1-2, hello. I mean, Rush Limbaugh, who is as right-wing as you can get, the last person I would usually quote, suspects Obama conspired with al-Qaeda to frame Bashar al-Assad. And I believe Bashar al-Assad is president here, okay? And President Bashar al-Assad interview with a French magazine Ted. If the Americans, the French, or the British had a single shred of evidence, they would have disclosed this from day one. But there's no evidence that presented. Okay. Then we have here Kerry says boundaries.
Oh, Vina, you're fading out. Teddy, can you hear in?
No, you faded out for me, too.
Okay, I was wondering if it was my line.
Wait a second.
No.
They probably don't like what I'm talking about, guys. Hang on a second. Well, I'm sure as soon as I stop talking about this, everything will be fine. Hang on. So you don't hear me well now, right?
Now you're good.
Now we're good.
Is this good?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So in any case, we may be on the verge of going into a world war with false premises, and we have to put that in the light. It seems like that is an extremely strong possibility, and that there's no evidence that things occurred the way they did. And so I'm going to start this call with calling in the light and putting that whole situation in the light. And I hope if you are someone who's listening, and because every time I do talk about this kind of stuff, someone emails me, please do your own research and due diligence on some of the things I talked about this evening before you immediately draw a conclusion. Because there is such a predisposition to be programmed into a certain kind of reality that it's very hard to even consider that these things are possible. I had a hard time. It took me a while. And I was going, oh, my God. So in any case, Father, Mother, God.
There is a question in the announcement that probably needs to be answered before Terry goes into channeling mode or...
What was the question?
What is the day like in the life of Terry and Wynn?
Oh, well, we'll move in and out of it. Thank you.
Yes,
I'm calling you in the light, really, just to do a little group intention for Syria, okay? Right now. Because then we'll go back into our mood, and then we'll go into the questions. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect everyone on this line and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And right now, we would like to put the peace on planet Earth in the light. We would like to put all those people that have violence, that have agendas, that are not operating in the highest good. We would like to send the light to a shift in compassion, a shift in understanding, and an awareness in the collective of this planet, because that awareness will stop them from taking action. And there is a growing awareness, and that scares them. Because they know at a certain point it'll be a critical mass and they'll be out of business. That means some people are saying they're planning some desperate moves for the end of September. And I know this stuff is real. I've been watching it. I'm paying attention. So let's put all of the idea of peace on the planet. Let's put the disabling of weapons, of nuclear weapons. Let's put world opinion and awareness and the truth coming forward for more people to become aware of it in the light, and more people holding the space of their own God consciousness, their own divinity, to have the power to shift events and bring in positive energies onto our planet right now. And that's you and I. We are those people and others like us. Okay, now, let's see. I'm probably clear now. Is that right, Heise?
Well, it just got back a little bit, that sound, but you're okay.
Okay. I have another phone here I can call and it goes out of line. Okay. So, do you have any last minute questions? If you were one of those people that asked a question on Saturday, we didn't get to it, please email it to me right now. Because I said I was going to give it a preference. I didn't get any of it. Okay? So, this one question.
We can't hear you.
No, you're going south. Call him on the other phone probably, Win.
You can't hear me now?
Right now again, yes.
So if I speak louder, does it work better?
I guess so.
All right, just tell me again. If it happens once more, I will switch, okay? I will call on another line. Hang on. Sometimes I mumble, and you might be mistaking my mumbling for a bad phone connection. Okay.
No, it was
like,
a fade up.
Are you near other electronical equipment or something?
Is it? But I am clear now. I'm okay?
You're okay now, yes.
Okay. Okay. And by the way, thank you, Everett, for asking me to call in the light earlier in the call, which we did today. And I think when we have world issues like this, to call in the light in every call and put it out there, put our group intention out for planetary shift. And Terry, somebody asked, who was it that asked this? Somebody said, oh, I know, it was Carol in Alaska. She said, what's a day in the life of winning Terry, Mike?
I don't know if any 2 days are the same.
Well, first of all, a day in the life of Wynn is different than a day in the life of Terry. And then we're in different modes. Like, say, for example, if we're traveling, there's a different mode than when we're in one place. And I would say, you know, we're working to make ends meet. We got this pendant business that's working. Jerry is really doing a lot to hold it grounded, and I'm doing a lot to keep it trusted. I'm trying to get enough freedom so I don't have to worry about money and I can just get on a bunch of radio shows. And sometimes Terry and I get into fights. Do we ever get into fights, Terry?
Yeah, sometimes we do. when we have a disagreement.
Yeah. What do we disagree about? Tell everybody?
About the details of promotion. Ren has very, very good ideas, but sometimes he exceeds my ability to, what I conceive of my ability to carry them out. And then I fight back, like, I can't do that. That's beyond my ability to...
At that moment, it's beyond your ability, okay?
Yeah, it is.
Beyond your ability.
What I conceive of, my, yeah. I got to work up, yeah. I got to go in little baby steps.
Yeah. You know, what I notice, something I've learned in the past years, and it was a major thing to learn, and that is when you're dealing with someone, you're always dealing with that person projecting their reality system. And the easiest way to deal with someone else is to respond to their reality system. And that's what they expect. They want, people want to meet that same reality system. So I've learned that it's possible to project a reality system back that's maybe different or bigger than the reality system the person was holding, and to do it in such a way that it's non-confrontive and non-inflictive. And it's subtle. And I've watched how that occurs, and I've watched sometimes the people around me, including Terry, but Terry's getting better, have a difficulty in doing that, in kind of reversing a reality system so that it's on a different wavelength. Okay? So sometimes I get frustrated because I see visions of how things can be, and then it's very hard to make the visions manifest. But if I don't do it, it won't happen. You know, I happen to know that the work we're doing here is important beyond belief, and it's very, very rare for this to be occurring on this planet, and that there are millions of people that would wish they'd like to find it. But the hard part is, how do you put it out to the world so people can find it? That's my job. You know, it, you can't really say what it is, because people have to discover it and experience it for themselves. So you can only get people to be curious, and then either they'll find something here or they won't. So that's, you know, one of the challenges. And let's go on to some of the questions. All right, so let's bring in the light. And we have a question here from Rosalie. And she's talking about her relationship with her boyfriend, her significant other, and she says they have a really good energy connection, and they're connecting on the 7th, 6th, 4th chart. And, but they have a really hard time connecting on the 5th chakra. Now, 5th chakra means 5th chakra means communication. It means understanding. You know, I noticed also that when she says they met 7th, 6th, 4th chakra, people are meeting at all the higher chakras. But she didn't mention they're meeting on the 2nd chakra, 3rd chakra, 1st chakra. And most times, relationships ground on those first three chakras. You know, sometimes some of you think that the lower chakras are worse than the higher chakras, and that there's some kind of hierarchy where it's good to be in the higher chakras. fact of the matter is, if you're just in the higher chakras, you'll be totally ungrounded. You'll be totally... Hi? Are you there? Hello, hi.
You're very hard to understand, but maybe hush.
I am. Okay, I'll tell you what. Let me call on the Uma phone, okay? And see if it gets better, okay? Just be a moment. We're dialing.
While he is dialing back, we look at the fish chakra and we see expression, the throat chakra, and the ability to communicate. So when one communicates, one is getting something across, and with good communication and consideration of the other person in the communication, one can establish an understanding. There are things concerning communication that one can pay attention to. Part of it is listening, seeing what the other person is actually saying, where they're coming from, and so then taking that into account. Is Heist back?
No. Let's call for Wynn.
Hello?
Is Wynn back?
Hello, is this better?
Yep.
Okay, I'm on a different phone line. Okay.
You need to mute one of them, Wynn.
Are we getting an echo?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is muted. And our next question... Oh, just finishing on Rosalie. She was saying that, like, in times when she was communicating, and I didn't get to read this, another thing I didn't want to, but I thought he said he wanted to see. He wanted me to see other men, so I felt I should. And then he got really mad at me. And as I attempt to act as my higher mind, what can I do to lighten and strengthen the fifth chakra energy channel? Thank you all so much. Now, I just was saying that she did not mention the first, second, and third chakras. And to me, those three chakras are very important in balancing a relationship. The first chakra has to do with survival. And, of course, in a relationship, people get married and then they take care of each other. So they're handling survival. Sex is the second chakra, and it has to do with exchange of energy that can put one in great balance and bring great joy, potentially. And the third chakra is power. And I think that in a relationship, people can learn to co-create so they can have experience power, but not, how would you say, a contraction or being dominated. You know, that's a weakness of the power chakra in a relationship, not feeling anyone is dominating. Or if someone is dominating, it's with the permission of the other person so that they can express that, and there's not a feeling of, you know, it's kind of like a thing where women are supposed to make men think they thought of it, but they guide them into that, something like that. So it feels to me if the first three chakras
were in more balance, the fifth chakra would be in more balance, okay? Because when you're communicating and those lower chakras are out of balance, then oftentimes there's, like, for example, if someone is not being sexually balanced, and I would ask each other, are you being sexually balanced? Are you feeling sexually balanced? Is there anything you can do to make yourself, the other, feel sexually balanced? Because if a person, people are afraid to ask. They're afraid to express that need. We've been trained to feel guilty about that. And yet, it's the most powerful way of exchanging love in the physical. So, if I would start communicating, are you feeling balanced? And because all this miscommunication, which you're thinking is a fifth chakra miscommunication, might start from being unbalanced in the second chakra, and the person doesn't know how to express it, okay? And can you be vulnerable? Can you let yourself be fulfilled? Can you let someone fulfill you? You know, all of those things, because if you haven't had that experience, there is a phenomenal balancing that can come about through that experience. And when that happens, a lot of other things fall into line. And I'll let our sources answer anything more to what I said.
Thank you. There is an underlying energy between people, and when the energy gets turbulent and it's not harmonious, one can begin to see what it is that is bothering the other person. If there is a misunderstanding, or if someone says something, sometimes people can say something in anger that they don't mean. Well, go ahead and read. And they don't even mean that. So if they say something from anger, then wait until things are calmer, things have gone down the road a little bit, and then ask, did you really mean that? If one thinks that they might have meant that, to get a true clarification of where a person is at, simply by looking at the area of communication and the areas that Ben has mentioned, could make a huge difference. And you are wise to have spotted that communication is needed. Communication is more than just words. It is the reception of energies and the giving of energies. Thank you.
Yeah, I would say start off the communication with being really vulnerable and willing to express your needs, what you need, the other person, on all levels. Do you feel secure? Do they make you feel secure? Could they make you feel secure? What would it take for them to make you feel secure? Are you getting enough sex? Or am I fulfilling you? Could I do more? Could you ask when you need it? You know, one of the things with men, being a man, I know this, is like when you go unbalanced is when you feel the most unlovable. You know, when a guy is in a good balanced relationship, everybody is attracted to him. The same guy, you know, when he's not, everyone is not, you know. And it's like, you know, really the communication might be, I need to be balanced. And it's coming out like harsh because the person's afraid to express their need. So make them safe to express it if you care about them. And if you want this to work, get them to the place where they can be honest about their needs and then handle it, okay? Love them the way they need to be needed. And everything else can come right into place. Let me know what happens on that, okay? And, of course, everything we're saying, you have to figure out if it's fits the situation, and it may not be the right answer. But let me go to Lori in Tombstone, Arizona. And Lori asks, when will things get better instead of struggling? Okay? And my answer to that, Lori, is find a way to detach yourself from the struggle, even for little periods during the day. Detach yourself. Find a way to move into your joy and into something higher than the struggle. And the more you can do that, the more you can lift the energy out of the struggle into what you really want. But when you're focusing on the struggle, that's what you're focusing on. You're giving it energy. Not easy to do this, but you can do it. Like maybe you're thinking, I have no time. I got to make money. I got to worry about this. I got to do that. Take a day, sit in the park and lay under a tree. Or take yourself to a movie. Do something that's outside of the struggle and then go back to it, okay? And it's kind of like you go to the movie, you sit next to somebody, even by yourself. You talk to somebody, oh, we're looking for a secretary. God, how neat that you sat next to me. And that's the way you create a synchronicity, okay? Because now you meet somebody. When you're in your struggle, people are turning away from you. It's hard to be around people that are struggling. It's a downer. And so you have to struggle harder to get somebody on your side. So do something that's outside of your struggle, even though you may think it's a waste of time. It puts you in an environment where you can meet people, and that those people might be the very solutions that help your struggling. And let me turn it over to our sources, and let's see what we get.
Thank you. If you triangulate with us, with the Elohim and Ra group brought on, if you triangulate with the God source, and you bring in the energy from there of love, of cooperation, of harmony, and so you've got one foot in the area of the love and the cooperation and the harmony, and then you can translate it into the rough day-to-day things that may go on and bring it in to your own satisfaction in the daily events, particularly the ones that are hard to deal with. And this will make it easier to step out of the struggle and to bring peace and harmony into the area of struggle and help you to see from a bigger perspective how you can move out of the struggle.
Thank you. Next question. We've asked a question like this previously, and somewhere in our archives, but I think it's a good question to ask now.
We cannot hear you.
Okay, we're back on the cell phone again. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The question is, this will probably be our last question in the evening. Those of the Ra group and those of the Elohim, when we refer to, sounds like the Elohim is one thing and the Ra is one thing. I know that's not the truth. The Elohim expands through dimensions, and the Ra group expands through dimensions, and there's billions of individual souls in both groups or more, and leave it back there. We're working to let that go. Just saying, watch your yellow rod. So, it's not easy to give this answer because it would be like saying, what does it feel like to be a human? And there's many variations in individual awarenesses in both of the souls. But the question is, essentially, how does it feel to be a Ra, and how does it feel to be an Elohim? Thank you.
Thank you. There are very different feelings to feel the Elohim, us, the energies. They're very, very harmonious. And we recommend bringing harmony into the third dimension. If you bring harmony, for instance, into the functioning of a body, and you can get all the body parts functioning harmoniously together without rubbing, without friction, into the most easy connection with all the body parts possible, then you will have the best of health and everything will flow within the body. The energy will flow within all the systems of the body and it will be very workable. And if you have blockages of energy within the body, then that is an area where there is a buildup of negative energy that can be very hard to deal with. Therefore, to be an Elohim in the Elohim sphere, we relate with the color pink, which stands for unconditional love, but we have the color pink about us. We emanate the color light pink. To be a Ra soul, and we move into the aspect of Ra that is channeling with us today, it carries lower frequencies from the times when we, as Ra, have lived in the third density and have learned to emanate the lower vibrations of the third density and can move into those and experience those and remember our experiences of what it was like when we were in the third density. So we have been touched by our experience within the third density, and we carry the vibrations from those things that have touched us. Perhaps that helps a little.
Gwen?
Yeah, I'm here. If we were going to simplify that, or let me just try that, those of the Ra group feel more like we feel, but in a higher dimension. And those of the Elohim group are more expansive. They feel like pure energy. And it's kind of like they're in a flowing mass of energy that flows around them. But the Ra group is more made up of individuals who don't have bodies, who are energies, but identify very much with how it feels to be human. Is that a close approximation?
The Elohim, we do not have mass so much. We have very little mass because we manifest very little mass. The Ra group, us,
the Ra group are able to express or to manifest energy more because it includes the lower vibrations of planet Earth. By lower, we don't mean worse. We mean simply not as high in expression as the notes on piano in the lower octaves will resonate at a lower tone. We as the Elohim radiate very high unconditional love, and we do not resonate with the lower frequencies of some of the emotional experiences that one has been stuck in and goes through. We tend to maintain a harmonious light balance within our energy flows.
As Terry is talking, I'm tracking the energy around me, and every word I can feel energy changes in my field as you speak. Is that actually you in my field, or is that energy projected from you?
We, in some ways, do not know the difference as we are there with you. We are with the callers, and as such, we are able to manifest the light, think, loving, unconditional energy, or as Ra, the lower frequencies of the treasured Earth experience. And it is all in your space, and you feel it changing as we change from the Ra group to the Elohim group.
Thank you. Thank you for that clarification. And thanks for the person that asked that question. And maybe some of you could track the energy while they were talking. And it's 6:58. And would you like to have a closing? We have about 1 minute.
Thank you. We, as we merge together, Ra and the Elohim, as we merge, we all are with you in this area, the fall 2013, and we place again in the space around the Earth, the desire for peace, the option for peace. As if one is made, tried to force to go to war, then they lose. And if they do it out of fear of losing, they lose twice. We put into space the empathy, the compassion, the desire for the health and growth of all people. And we place it over Syria and over the Middle East. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, BBS, for letting us go the extra 20 seconds. We better cut now because it's 7 o'clock and we got another show ready to start.
Your conference recording has stopped.
So we'll see you all later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, ready to go, Steamroller.